Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hi, hello everyone, and it's Red News Podcast 108, and what a 48 hours. I'm actually beaming. I felt breathless, and it wasn't being fat or exercise. I actually felt breathless when the news was coming through. And there is a tiny iota of me who, the joy of it is triggered by, I hate the way that they've affected the club so much that we have to preoccupy ourselves with off-field, sometimes more or as much as on-field. But it felt a victory. And to try and articulate it, I mean, we only did the podcast Sunday. It feels like a fucking ages ago. But to try and articulate my feelings slowly, I'll mention the word I was looking for on Sunday night was autofellatio, which is, if I could, I'd be doing right now at the news that Ed Woodward has gone. But I woke up, I mean, we'd already chatted about the introductions. I woke up Monday morning feeling heartbroken, feeling, I had a cloud since tonight going over my head. And we'd gone through 2005 and the choices I made, which I did make clear the preceding March, that I wasn't going to give my season ticket up. But I said to my loved ones and the sellers that I was going to decide this summer whether I could renew, because I felt this was just, I don't know, whether, you know, we go back to then, but this felt like a moment and I couldn't have looked myself in the mirror. And I felt absolutely heartbroken. And United, we're in the pandemic, global pandemic. To have that feeling is a bit of self-loathing that it can get to you during, you know, but that's what United means to us. And then I got a text this morning from someone quite powerful in football, which surprised me, but they said there's a club buckling. So, I mean, must, and I know they get a lot of criticism, but must dunk, that must have been doing shed loads over the last 48 hours, because I got only a dip in the toe involved today. I was speaking to people at UEFA, at United, and the momentum had changed. And I felt, like I've mentioned, that this was 1998 again. And the difference from 05, where no one gave a shit about us because we were just mere fans, and, oh, it's Man United again, was today you had everyone and the momentum. And I do feel, you know, we can criticise, but why you concentrate on governance and why you concentrate on politicians for arguments is like this, is when that momentum shifts, that's why we won in 98. Anyway, I was having communications with UEFA, and I know they're sinful, so I'm not, but it just started to change during the day. Now, I will say, I'll add that there are a lot of decent people at United, lower levels, not the suits, and they were getting an awful amount of flack, and they didn't deserve that because they cared and they didn't know. Nobody at United had told them. Nobody's told them today what's going on. They're all waiting to hear off the media. So there's no one in power going, this is what's happening. I'll get to everyone. They've kindly joined us on a bloody Tuesday night. But the Woodward news, I felt like business, fuck off. Bloody hell, I was so happy. Now, I honestly, and we have had this in the mag, he was going. I'm not saying now, it's obvious because of this, but he has eyed his end game. He's on £4 million a year. I think he's got £5 million in shares. And as we've had in the mag a year or so ago, he's bought a vineyard for a massive investment in Portugal, where they're putting a lot of money, the family, and a lot into that. So that was his end game. So, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I think he was going. He'd had enough. And I'm not feeling sympathy in any shape or form. But this is, so he'll leave. He's not gutted. He's just fucking earned millions and millions. Now we go to the top. Now, I'm not, the events have so fast, you know, the Glazers could sell. I don't think that. And there's nothing. I know some journos. But the pressure, how you build it, you go to governance, you seize this opportunity, this collective. But I felt broken, and it's really hard to sum up that when you've got a family, when you've got a life. I felt absolutely broken yesterday. And to have that feeling of just fucking yes, Now use that as momentum. Don't let them think. And I will say, you know, for Gary Neville, for all his sins, but he speaks to Red News, you know, help the mag. I think he started this rolling. You know, that his initial moves on Sky, which were doing it for hypocritical, you know, there's so much hypocrisy, but the innocent ones, the fans in all this, we've got a fucking iota of a victory. So I'm going to go, I think, Nathan first, because he's posted something which I've asked him to read out. Are you, mate?
Hello. Do you want me to read that first?
Yeah, no, please.
I said to them before, if anyone wants me to write any speeches for them, just let me know. So there we go. After over a year of empty stadiums due to a global pandemic, these greedy cunts thought they had the power to take our club, our sport, and use it and change it beyond recognition for their own gain. But no, even without us being able to even set foot into the grounds, we as fans were able to fight them and bring them down. I'm proud of every single fan tonight. Man United, Man City, Chelsea, even Liverpool. This is our sport, not theirs, and they now know more than ever that that's the case. Our owners may still be in charge for now, but I can finally see a glint of light which points to them maybe fucking off once and for all. Woodward's gone, now it's time for the Glazers. We've managed to save our sport, now it's time to get back our club.
Brilliant, well done. That was very well put, Nathan.
I should write more for the man.
You're not just a selling face. So how do you feel? Obviously that.
I was thinking back, because I think on Sunday, we did speak about it obviously quite a lot, but thinking back, I don't think we even really, we were like, oh yeah, it'll be shit if that happens. But I don't think we were like 100% thinking, this is, I know obviously it's not happening now, but come on yesterday morning, like when, like obviously Woodward resigned from his roles at UEFA and they retracted us from like that club associate, it was like, shit, this is actually happening now, they're trying to do it. And it hit me, like, obviously, I was just like, I don't know what, I don't want to be a part of this. And even, it's quite funny, last night, I went on a little Tinder date.
Oh.
Just to the park with some girl I've been chatting to, and she likes football. And we were talking about it, and she said to me, she literally said, it's like you're in mourning. She literally said that, because I was just like, I was gutted, and I was like, I genuinely felt like, I don't know what's going to happen now.
I have to say, Nathan, that's some opening gambit in a date.
Yeah.
You look like you're in mourning. Go on, sorry. Yeah.
But it felt like, it strangely felt like I was, because it's just, I didn't want to be any part of,
no.
Like I said, it's like, it's not like other things where there's wrongs in football. This was literally trying to change the sport. It's beyond anything that has ever happened before. They literally wanted to change what actual football is. And it's just, I still feel disgusted that our club looks like the ringleaders of this.
Well, that's the thing.
That's been, it's far from over. But to me, if it does finally get fucked off, then if anything, this is a brilliant springboard to now kick on to push on, like you say, to put pressure on the owners and hope that if that was their end game, that because they failed in it. You never know. It's very wishful thinking to hope that they'll leave, but it's a better chance than any that we've had for years to do something about it.
I will say that the saddest aspect in the talking to people today, when they were saying one will go and then the rest will go, and they were right, and that was at like 7 a.m, that United were trying to keep it going, and you think shameful. They're using some that quote, and like I thought, I've got it somewhere. So I had to look up. I spent an hour. I've got the quote somewhere where don't use besmirch Samat's name, you know, and so many decent staffers, but shame on communications to allow, because there's decent people who go, no, you don't use his name like that. You don't dare brief that Samat Busby was behind it. But like Ben, I'll go to Ben next, but Ben was articulating also in our group what I was thinking, where we've said, where is your line in the sand moment? And I honestly, this isn't after the event. I said to my wife, I need to sleep on this for a month or so and see how it develops. But I think this is my moment. So Ben, you were saying that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been my kind of feeling. It's been a roller coaster couple of days, really, hasn't it? I've gone from kind of shock on Sunday to anger on Monday to elation this evening. So it's kind of been the full range. But yeah, I think I was disgusted, really, that with the whole thing and that we were involved with it. I think Nathan used the word embarrassed, felt embarrassed to be a United fan. And you know that we were involved in this, you know, abomination, really. And I just don't want to be involved in it anymore. This is like, and you know, I mean, we were around in 2005. I was involved in the protest then, and I don't think I was ever really ready to walk away at that point. And maybe that was the age I was. I was 24 at that stage. I don't think I was, but. There's just no way I could have got on board with this at all. And maybe it's, you know, not having been there for a year as well, you think with a bit more clarity. But I think all the kind of, everything that's wrong with football, the greed, you know, the disregard for the fans, all of these things, I think have just come through in high definition, haven't they, in the last 48 hours and just made it really, really clear to us. And whilst I'm really happy that it's all fallen apart, I think in some ways the damage has been done for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I'm not going to make a knee-jerk reaction now. I've got 2 months to sleep on it and decide. But, you know, I'm still feeling pretty sore about the whole thing, I've got to say. But I think I'll probably come round. And one of the sort of things that really got me today, actually. So I woke up this morning. Do you remember when the pandemic first started? I think this was something we discussed. You kept waking up in the morning thinking, has it all been a bad dream? I was thinking about this in and out of sleep last night, and I woke up this morning and thinking, has it been just a dream? And then, you know, you look at your phone straight off and it's still there. And I think the thing that's pissed me off the most with it is I felt that these bastards were taking away my kids' birthright to go to Manchester United with their old man like I did and like my dad did with his dad. You know, that really pissed me off. If I walk away, I'm never going to have those moments with my kids because of these people. And I was fuming about that this morning. It made me really angry.
But I tell you, Ben, that's the emotion. I had a moment, and this is hard to explain to an alien who'd be listening to this, that Albert, after school yesterday, we were talking and he'd got a magazine, and it was old because he was going, who's Ighalo? And I was thinking, I must Google how Ighalo's done since the fucking he left us. But he said, you know, will we see him at the ground? And I actually felt tearful that this lot were going to take, you know, the bizarre, it also got me thinking, why I woke up sad yesterday was United is about its triumphs and its adversity, obviously. But it's also, I tell you two games that stand out for me, one I wasn't at, but Atletico Bilbao with the Babes, that people, you know, will talk about as one of the greatest ever, you'd never have under this. And for me, Olympiacos, I know the Moyes season, but we were 2-0 down to win 3-0. And you lot, Nick and Nathan, would say Evra's 59 seconds against Bayern. You know, ultimately futile achievements. But live long in the memory that you can look at someone and go, that's your moment. And to bastardise it. And the only relief now, after the event, we've got this. But the world saw what we've been telling people for 16 years. The world saw. In cold light of day, this is what they are. And there is maybe for another day to talk about, you know, oh, that if they sell up, there's saviours out there. Not everyone is a saviour. Not every. And that's where it's fucking hard, because you just want to say, enough, Barney, stop, you know, trying to stop fighting. But you have to keep fighting. Right, sorry,
Well, that's my concern now going forward. I mean, I think that possibly this does present an opportunity to get rid of them, you know, in the slightly longer term, that they may see, well, you know, this has been thwarted and all the money that would have entailed for them. And they may be more open to the idea of selling the club, but what then? You know, the worry for me is, you know, who can afford it? And if it's Saudi Arabia, I think I'd rather have the Glazers, because at least you know that, you know, they're just in it to milk us for money. Then, you know, I think the idea of the Saudis sports washing their atrocities in the same way that the Qataris and the Abu Dhabi do with City, just I don't want to be involved in that either. So sorry to
no, I know. I mean,
that's the worry.
No, but there's an idealistic moment where I see the 50+1, and I think, God. Can you imagine? But the reality will be, of course, Boris will shut up about this tomorrow. It's been a diversion from all the Tory sleaze, you know, and we'll go back to reality. But it's nice to think for a dream that maybe people will listen and to think, why were we saying German model? Right, sorry, Coggy, please don't say anything inappropriate so I cannot edit this and get this straight out. Go on, Craig.
Well, I don't know what to say then if I can't do that. I went to my first United game as a four-year-old. My old man took me to Midlands aways and everything. And I'm not unique when I say this, but during the years I've missed family weddings, I've missed important birthdays, family parties. I've even missed a funeral to go and watch United, apart from work and stuff like that. I've seen some bad times, you know. I've had my head kicked in at away games, and you know, saw us relegated and lose the league on the final days of the season. And 2005, I flirted with leaving, and I couldn't. But this is the final nail in the coffin. I couldn't give a shit whether it's worked or not. Right, the intent was there, and for me, it's the intent that's bad enough. And you know, and that's it for me. I won't step in Old Trafford as I stand at the moment. Until the Glazers have gone, fuck it. They're a bunch of twats, you know, the sooner the club, the better. Mm. But he's put such a sour taste in my mouth, and you know, we all think differently, and I won't begrudge anybody who carries on going, but it's just the fucking final nail in the coffin for me.
And that's for, you know, and that's why I need to sleep over the next 60. But I will say, United offering the year out will maybe kick them right in the bollocks as an, you know, an actual option, because yeah, that will be, I don't know, there's so much, I don't know, there's probably, I need one of you to tell me what happens in the next fucking half an hour. We're waiting, I've got texts that United are pulling out, they're just have, you know, they're going to prime a statement. And I tell you what shows, and I did tweet it, the greed and the deception and how cowardly they are, they couldn't even tweet it out. Because they knew the shame that it would bring on that great name of that football club. Right, I'm going to go to Nick next. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I mean, just when I thought I was out, pull me back in, you know. It's...
That's the part I was trying to do the other day, and I totally fucked it up.
I kind of agree with what Nathan and Ben have been saying, you know what Ben said before about it being a bit of a dream. I've kind of been waiting for Ashton Kutcher to come out like an episode of Punk'd and just sort of say, you know, surprise, it was all a bit of a joke.
I have no idea what that means.
Sorry, that was for the 16 and 24-year-olds, you know, they probably don't really know.
Who want 15-minute matches? So,
you know, that's the wrong target market. I don't know, I mean, it's been quite enjoyable, really, over the last couple of hours, really. It's felt like, it's been a good watch, hasn't it, really? I mean, I wish we had, you know, I mean, just to touch on really what Coggy said really about his first United game. In my first United game, we played York City in the what was the Coca-Cola Cup. It was 1990. We got beat 3-0, and I've been moaning that everyone's probably at work is sick of hearing me tell this story. But you know, that to me just sort of really sums up what football is all about, what the English game's all about. I know we rotate the side, but we still played some big names in that. If you look back through the team sheet. And that's what English football is, and to take that away, or to have an idea to try to take that away from the fans, for me, is just, yeah, that was shit, don't get me wrong, but it was still absolutely shocking. I mean, you wondered what United were going to say in the next half an hour. United have just put out a statement, and the final words from it are, Coach Eamon Joe Glazer has added about Ed Woodward that his contribution to the club has been massive and he will always be welcome at Old Trafford as part of the Manchester United family. Are they having a fucking laugh? Are they having a laugh? There is no way he's going to be welcome at Old Trafford. Exactly, Ben. Yeah, two things, exactly that. I mean, today as well, one of the things is that people were saying today it's a victim of timing and how City and, you know, Spurs maybe wouldn't have been in a few years ago. To put it into perspective, Schalke have been relegated from the Bundesliga today. If this was 15 years ago, they probably would have been part of this Super League thing. You know, just to show you how bad ownership models can possibly get. They're a massive football club in Germany. They're, what, the third biggest football club in Germany? They're going to be in the second league next year. That's absolutely massive.
Well, we played them in the semis, didn't we? Not so, it wasn't, got to be, what is it, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah. And just to add, and just to add to your point as well about when you said about Emery's volley and that 59 seconds. I mean, I couldn't say how much fun he had at Astana away. Do you know what I mean? I was like, what a trip that was. You don't get that with a Super League, do you? You know, what a fantastic trip and to these weird and wonderful places.
But also, Nick, I'd say that for Lods. I'd say that for Kosice. I could name about 20 I've been lucky enough to do. But it's not so much us. You know, it's their fans. It's Kosice fans who can say the great Manchester United came here. Lutz, whatever. The great Manchester United, we played them. It's the whole thing. And the thing I loved about United, we're often, you know, our fans are often mocked. But we were saying enough. You know, we were all adamant. No, you think of every fucking club. We're not the greedy chancers that the rest of the... It's the fucking owners. Right, sorry, Nick. And then we'll go to Shane because it... Nick, do you want to say anything more, mate?
So I just think it's particularly weak as well. And I mean, obviously, the timing with the pandemic, yeah, you know, I mean, that's obviously dreadful. But, I mean, the fact to do it when there's no fans in the ground, to think that they weren't going to get any opposition and could just get away with the sleazy bullshit, you know, just really compounds and hopefully, as you said, highlights to the rest of the world just exactly what we've always saw and always known, especially the Red News in the Glazers as well. So I'm hoping that this might be the start of things. I mean, I agree with Ben that the alternatives aren't necessarily better to keep a downer on it, but hopefully this can be, ever the optimist in football, hopefully this can be the, you know, the stepping stone to a better direction and to hopefully getting our football club back.
Conor McGregor said he's up for it. I'd take anything. I just want them gone. And the thing, you know, for 16 years, for better and worse, every mag we've had it about them. Even when we were doing well in 2008, that there will be consequences. The Ronaldo money on endless. The day that they go. The only shame is you're drinking water, Nick. And I feel we should all be pissed like you shadow boxing. I think we should all be fucking demented and celebrating. Mike, sorry, Shane.
Yeah, I'll share if you want. I'll change.
I have broken my midweek rule to open beer because it has, like, I think I feel the same. We all feel the same. It has been, like, I think it has been surprisingly a bit emotional. Before, like, my lad, who's, you know, some of you know, 17, he come in and sort of said, well, that this could be the end of us going. Like, you know, and like Ben said, I kind of thought, well, I'm lucky that he's been going for a few years and we've seen him. Seen United win most stuff together. You know, luckily he got there just in time for a league title. So I feel very blessed in that regard. But I did feel resentful that that could be taken away, or at least taken away as we know it. I think, like, to be honest with you, I don't feel that elated tonight, if I'm honest with you. I feel really glad that it's collapsed. I feel glad that Woodward's going. But ultimately, you know, it kind of just confirms what we already knew, that how ridiculously detached they are from the game and the world that we view football in. You know, they're totally detached, so blatantly so. But I think, you know, the buck for me is that whilst it's good that this has collapsed, it was clearly like an NFL franchise-type model. And I look at that UEFA proposal to come out, and it's not far removed. You know, it's a big step towards that anyway. So we're not, let's not pretend that the kind of, the base position is much, much better. It's obviously a lot better, but it's not great in itself. And I agree with the momentum. You know, it does give me hope that maybe this could be the start of the end of the Glazers. But on the other hand, they're sitting on a huge asset and they're not going to walk away from that until someone gives them a big pile of cash for it. And as Ben said, at the moment, all you can see is it's not very nice of buyers coming in with that sort of money. And that, like, we all talk about a very personal thing, and I'd never judge anyone like we didn't in 2005, but, you know, I think that would be the line for me, is that at the moment you're making a judgment on the Glazers, you know, screwing us over. And as Ben said, if it comes to an owner that's actually kind of screwing the world or people, some people to talk to or whatever, I think that's a different matter that I would really struggle with. But I think the thing that got me a little bit emotional, or I really wrestled with, was the point we've all discussed about where that line is. And I think, sadly, all good for me, I don't know, but I think I'd find it really hard to walk away. And I don't think I would. If I'm being perfectly honest, I'd like to think I'd have the moral high ground. But I was reflecting, like everyone, you know, my first game was over 40 years ago. It was Palace away, we lost. But I still vividly remember it, and I just remember the magic of it. Standing in the United End, the rawness, just the whole, like, belonging, the atmosphere as a young lad. And I think ever since, you know, United, on and off, I've had a couple of breaks, having children, that. But for 40 years, on and off, it's been my pastime, my main social event, you know. And I think I kind of resent the fact that I might have to morally take that away. And I'm not sure ultimately I'd be willing to do that. I think you know, a really shit United is still better than no United. And I think they probably want that. They probably want us gone. And I think me going or us going is what's going to happen. They fill the seats with their future fans, they call it. What legacy fans?
Legacy fans.
So I think ultimately I would struggle to walk away. And that may be a bit selfish, but I just think it's such a big part of my life.
I'm not sure I could. I agree with that, Shatton. I don't think, and my whole point from 2005, even 98, was no one should ever tell another fan. So people were saying, you know, Barney, tell. I'm never going to tell another Red. All I can say is, and this isn't, you know, it's my life. It's all of your lives. It's all I've ever done. I was trying to explain to someone in the queue at school yesterday. It's all I've ever done for 45 years every weekend is go to United. So it's far exceeds the 90 minutes. And almost like I can take a defeat every 90 minutes. I won't like it. I won't be happy. I'll moan. But this is chiseling away. And it's I resent the fact. And add, it's layers. They don't even go. The way they took over. The whole debt on the club. The way they've let Old Trafford sink. You know, you add all these things. And I admire anyone. If there's a way that we can unite. But the one hope I've got tonight is that if this is what happens in 2 or 3 days with a United approach, maybe. I'm not naive. My hopes are shallow.
But I do agree with that point. I think, you know, we're all quick to point. I think, like, what Nathan said at the start was pretty profound, and that I do think that, you know, we do need to kind of unite a little bit as supporters of football with, you know, like, we probably, on this issue, got more in common with Liverpool, I hate to say it, than we have rivals. I think we need to be aligned on that.
Yeah, but we also need to be united as a fan base ourselves, Shane. You know, we've not done very well on that in the past, I would say. Is that Corona you're drinking there, Shane? Is that Corona you're drinking?
It is, yeah.
Fucking hell. I don't know if that's an insult or topping off a strange, surreal day.
Just on the light-hearted stuff. We talk about, like, the memories. You know, I've been blessed with, you know, I've got, I think, some, you know, the 80s Cup Finals are some of my best memories still. But I just, like, what I love about it, and funny enough, I was talking to, like, Tom Malloy, Rhythmshaw. He sometimes listens to this, I know. And me and him were talking a couple of weeks ago. And oddly, you know, we're old gits that have, you know, luckily seen a lot of great things for United. But we were just joking about how mad that Evra goal was and the goon afterwards. And I think that's why I love United, you know, as an old git. Like, it still gives me that buzz every now and then. It provides something that just takes you away from all the crap in life. And the last couple of days dragged us back into the crap of life. And I think, I think, you know, United should be fun. It should be
the release.
Ben and others have said, they're trying to take that away from us. They've got no right to do that. It's disgusting.
I like what you were saying, Shane. Sorry, I'll go to Coggy next, but I like what you were saying, Shane, that if this had proceeded, we'd choose a random Euro away, not any of those clubs involved to go on ourselves.
That's what Tom and I were saying, like, fuck the Super League. Let's just, like, get a little consortium together and we'd draw random cities for 2 day pit-ups.
One serious point is that Fergie and Gil were totally split on this. And I did actually think, I thought it'd be more Gil, will he resign? Now, we don't. You know, and we know his fault lines with the debt is the road to ruin. But I thought, so it'll be interesting, the fallout from this might be long held. The second, I'll make a lighter point, Coggy. Was it you or was it Ben who made the line of duty comment on the Sunday? Now, I've been playing catch-up watching this. Now, if I put a surveillance team on what are they called, AC-12, the amount of times they spend on that fucking ledge or balcony watching another person, and as soon as someone is bent, do you notice they go out of the room and make their own phone calls? You just need to follow the person who's leaving the room fucking first. It ain't rocket science. They're always on the ledge. I mean, you could just be out in the street going, well, there they are. I know what they're doing next. Right, so, sorry, Coggy.
Yeah, it does show, what, these last few days, it does show the power of football supporters when they get together. And you know, that's been good to see. It's been admirable. And you know, even I would have gone joined a protest with Liverpool fans, you know, in our game in a couple of weeks' time. I wouldn't have stood by them. I'd have been across the road, but at least, you know, I'd have joined them. What worries me now is Chelsea fans are singing the say fucking football outside Stamford Bridge tonight. They're claiming they're the ones to say football. City have now said they're pulling out of it. So you know full well that their fans will just drift off, job done, they're happy, and it'll leave the other four clubs to do whatever they need to do. And because of the Glazers, we will be the last club to pull out, in my opinion. And we'll be just, you know, isolated and ridiculed again, you know, like we have been over the bloody years.
But that's it. The stench of this doesn't go away. It's rotten. No. I will add, as a proviso, can we go back to hating everyone again? No, I'm joking. You know, let's... But you think the stench of this does not go away, and as you say, the change, I don't know, let's take victories. We've wanted Woodward out, and on a purely, as he goes to his vineyard, I just had a message from someone going, yeah, he's very into his wine plans, allegedly. I will say his incompetence on football transfers, his incompetence on every matter that came to Manchester United as a starting point to how to get a better football club is, you know, not that get Van der Sar in tomorrow, for fucking starters, get a man who knows what he's doing there. That alone, let's take that in isolation. We have wanted him out for a very long time.
Yeah, but just on that, Barney, but you... Like, I've got no trust whatever that the Glazer family are going to recruit.
No, you know who they're going to get.
Woodward, do you mean, like, that's their thing? They're only going to recruit Woodward, they're gonna, number two.
No, but yes, they'll make Dickie Arnold. This is my guess. Dickie Arnold will go, and then they will promote into Dickie's space one of the people who's been appearing regularly on the conference calls, and it's just shuffling the deck, you know, the deck chairs again.
So it's basically the provider will be. Appoint someone who can make us, and that I don't see that taking us a step forward.
No,
like, so I'm kind of both glad that Woodward's going, but I'm not very optimistic about who's going to step into his shoes.
No, but I'm going to let's not, after all our, you know, for where we were yesterday, like, you know, Monday 19th of April, I thought this is a line in the sand where we were, to feel like. A sense that of small victory. And I will say, 34th anniversary of Red News, it felt nice. Woodward going, fuck off. Fuck off. You've hated us. You've shat on us. You've tried to stop. You know, like, that just feels not. And to everyone back in the sub-campaign, please, we want to keep fighting for you. You may have quibbles. You may not agree with the content. Sometimes what I say, I don't agree with sometimes what I say looking back. So, but please support the fan team. Right, come on, you lot. Nick.
You're on mute.
You're on mute. What's that over?
Cat, I know she's just like scratching and jumping around and she's knocking shit, so I thought I'd best mute it.
Is that the one you stole?
Yeah, that's the one that I stole, yeah. She's currently going a bit wild at the moment, so I'm trying to keep one eye on her at the same time. I won't forgive the Glazers and Woodward for this, really, because I've really struggled to be on the same side as any Scousers, and certainly City fans. I work with a load of City fans, and to sit there and be in a total agreement with them has done nothing but pain me. I'll be licking them wounds for a while, and especially with one of the Scousers that's in the office, so I'm not going to be quick to forgive them for that, really. I'm just kind of, hopefully we can get out of this as soon as possible. I agree, I think we'll be one of the last clubs to pull out. we should be leading away, shouldn't we? As Gary Neville quite rightly said last night, and so did Carragher as well, to be fair to him. You know, there's just more and more footballers over the last half an hour as well on Twitter that just keep posting it. So hopefully it's just the end of it really now.
The thing is, you know, there's so much hypocrisy from UEFA, from Sky, you know, Amazon Prime, you know, these companies weren't going to win for it, suddenly saying I won't have anything to do with it. I do think there was a genuine, you know, from a lot of people, not just fans, there was a genuine aghast at what are you trying to do, what this club should represent, what, you know, to take away competition. The great thing, as Nathan said, you know, like the Perez thing, it was great putting him up last night because it was almost like the more imbecilic he sounds, the better it is. You know, to go like this doddery old man to go on about football 16 to 24-year-olds who you've been pricing out all of you lot and then to say they want shorter matches. I've never spoken to anyone who said, do you know what football needs to be? Like 10 minutes. What are you on about?
Do you know what someone said on the radio? The interesting thing was he'd made those comments. And if you look at the protests outside Stamford Bridge, the vast majority of the people protesting were between 16 and 24.
Brilliant, yeah. Yeah. And that gives you hope. You'd pass the baton on to the kids. All of you at United, you know, let's be more united. Let's seek a common ground. Let's stop slagging each other off. And equally, as I say, like, you know, Coggy knows people at the club. There's decent people at the levels at the club who don't deserve stick because their fight is our fight.
The only people who deserve stick are the owners. Mm. You know, it's not the manager. I mean, I even felt sorry for Jurgen Klopp on Monday Night Football because you could see that he was, you know, he was hurting with it. The fact that he'd not even been, you know, the first he heard about it was the day before, like everybody else. I mean, how can you treat a manager like that who's won you a league title in the European Cup? You know, the absolute contempt these people have got, not just for the fans, but for their employees, you know, their managers and the players. I mean, poor Ollie had to go out and do that interview on Sunday. Didn't know a thing about it.
Yeah. What I can't understand is, you know, I mean, they must have been in discussions for this for some time.
Yeah.
They must have looked at all the scenarios. They must have decided or evaluated the angst and the anger that would have come from football generally. And yet, they seem shocked and two clubs are folded within 2 days. I mean, you know, these are, you know, shrewd, clever, ruthless business people. And two of them already folded.
But Coggy, I think...
What the fuck did they expect
would happen? But Coggy, I agree with the ruthless bit, but this is where I've doubted the clever. You know, they've made business decisions and they've chosen the right moment, but I think, you know, Edda's littered with incompetence. I think they genuinely are so out of touch and they don't... And the thought today was 50+1. Can you imagine how well Manchester United would do if we had a unified ownership structure, if we all were behind the same thing, successful they'd be.
I don't just mean United. Yeah. You know, I'm on about the Liverpool.
But that's what I mean.
You know, the City owners, everything, you know.
But they're so out of touch, Coggy. I think they're all.
Yeah, I mean, if we went to the 50+1, which won't happen, you know, I think it would benefit United immensely.
I think they're all so out of touch, though, Coggy. I think these people they're not football fans. They're led by marketing. Do you know, like, last thing, and sorry, but the one thing, like, with the Klopp and the Ollie thing, there are PR and communications officers stopping them speaking. You're grown adults. Say what you want to. In life, you should be able to say what you like to freely. And you've got, like, with Pep, someone saying, stop it. It's not politics. It's not life or death. Let the people speak when they want to speak. These are adults. It goes back to footballers when we interview them. When they allowed us. Copy approval. Take this out. It's grown people. Stop flapping at fucking everything. Sorry. Nathan, come on. You haven't spoken since the start.
I just think the one thing through today that I know it's been a slow process, but through the day, but just seeing the players coming out against it. There's obviously only been a couple from us so far that I've seen. Obviously, Rashford was very clever with the thing that he posted. Like, just that, you know, it summed it up, but he didn't even have to say anything, did he? He let the pitch speak for itself. I think the thing that Shaw posted was brilliant. I think, like, so well put. And I just think it started trickling through from all directions, and it just shows that, like was just said, it's utter contempt from the owners that they didn't even speak to the people that...
Yeah.
The players on the pitch and the managers are the people that make them the money. And to think that they just could turn up to them and say, everything that you've grown up doing from being a small child is suddenly going to change. Like, whether the fact that they would have been able to have been banned from international duty, don't know, probably wouldn't have been able to have happened. But even the thought of that, for Rashford or Greenwood, who's come through at United, to then be told, all those things, all those aspirations that you've had of winning leagues, of winning Champions Leagues, and following in the footsteps, I know I probably said this the other night, following all the footsteps of all those key moments of our history, they're gone. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go and do this new thing.
Maybe.
Seeing that the players were seemingly so against it as well, that heartens me to think, as much as, you know, I know it might be back to square one in terms of we're just hating the owners, but I still want to support the players.
Yeah. No, always.
They're the true bit.
Always. You know? The fans, the community, the soul never dies. It's these twats. But what maybe naively, but I think Ollie would have come out against it. I really do. And I was building up to that. I don't think Ollie would have let us down. I know there's a lot of disagreement. We may never know, or, you know, but I think he would have come out against it because that's who he is. I really believe that. And maybe you'll disagree with that, anyone.
There's two big positives from what Nathan said and you said, Barney. I do think Ole might have ultimately, I think he might have been put on an awkward spot because he sometimes gets a bit in a flap on his press conference. I think it's unfair when he got, as Nathan said, that when he got cornered on Sunday, he clearly didn't know much about it. But I think he would have ultimately come out. But I think what Nathan said about the players was something that heartened me today, because I think football is at a time when we feel very distant from the players often. I think they've come out and and I think it's really important they did, because as much as we say it's great that the fans united and the fans had an influence, ultimately they're the people that would really make the difference. If players down tools, for example, if it went on, that would make a difference. And I think the fact they come out against it stopped it being sustainable. And I also think it's quite heartening, as a few of you have touched on, that young people have come out against it. Like, I know my lad has been quite surprised, really. You know, he's 17. And he's been really, like, I've never seen him so energised in the last couple of days about it. You know, he actually put a Retro United top on. He was going out today and he was texting me all day. And I don't usually get much of that from a 17-year-old. But he was really kind of, like, quite engaged with it and sort of saying, like, really, really against it, saying this is changing what he views football as and the fact that you don't have to qualify, etc. And I think, you know, and he made a point to me that, like, imagine if United got a strategy of just being top four, and they just spend enough to become top four. Well, that would be fucking gone. They wouldn't have to qualify anymore. They're in the ready, and that would be disastrous for United.
Yeah, but there's no irony. Sorry, that's the wrong term. But the clubs were shitting themselves because some of them are missing out on Champions League. So the actual farce of it being Super League with Spurs there, you know, I will say I felt a grand bit of self-loathing that full twat. Bingo, James Milner actually was sound yesterday, so I felt a bit of self-loathing.
I resent that, like Nick alluded to the scouts. So I really don't like
when you're praising James Milner.
When you have to agree with these
Go on, Ben. You were going to say something, mate.
I was just going to say, like Nathan made the point about, you know, chasing the European Cup and Rashford's seen, you know, that in history and that. No, our club is built around that, really. We lost the team in pursuit of the European Cup and we were willing to walk away from it. I mean, that is the ultimate betrayal, isn't it? That is just absolutely unforgivable. And the fact that, as you said at the beginning, that they then try and spin that round with a quote from Busby to try and position this as trailblazing and akin to us entering the European Cup in the first place. I mean, it just makes you feel sick.
Yeah. I did an interview with a journo yesterday and I hadn't talked to anyone pretty much in an hour anyway because of this, and I ended up like jabbing at the screen and I thought, he looks fucking terrified. I was so fucking angry, and I thought, he can't use the term twat dickhead. Who wants to speak? Come on, this is, it feels nice to fucking, it just feels nice.
Can I just say, I mean, I think I put on one of the chats, there's a great program on BBC Two last night about Derry City Football Club. And, you know, if you can get it at iPlayer, I'd watch it, and the way that they moved, had to move into a different league and everything. But it was quite fitting because they won the league, and then I think this was late 80s, so, you know, the European Cup format was different. But they got drawn again. In the first round, they got drawn against Benfica. And the joy and the excitement on the faces of all the people connecting with Derry. And I just sat there thinking, you know, how fitting is it watching this, knowing what's going on? I know the format's different and it's still difficult for those clubs to play the big boys, but that's what the Super League was taking away.
Nostalgia is a wonderful thing, obviously. You know, we had terrible conditions, we had terrible treatment back then, but I look back in 1987, 16-year-old naive, selling outside Macari's, we sold 15, 20 minutes. And you think the worst we thought we had to worry about was Martin Edwards taking an extra few hundred grand, you know, pre the PLC. And you'd offer me, and take that to most, Shane will agree, take that to most 1980 Reds. We'd fucking take a season of that compared. And it's horrible that they did this and they've done this. So let's just, I hope.
But Barney, Martin Edwards would have done this, you know, if he had the opportunity to take us into the Super League, he would have done exactly the same thing, wouldn't he, let's be honest.
The other thing, Ben, as well, is that I know everybody from the other 16 clubs, or the 14 clubs are pontificating about how gracious they are. If there'd have been eight clubs, you're telling me that Aston Villa or
Everton,
or Wolves, I've mentioned that for Nick's sake, wouldn't have jumped at the opportunity. You know, it's all right, they're saying there, but they would have done exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Well, they're quite happy. They're quite happy shafting the rest of the pyramid, aren't they?
But that's what
listening to Boris Johnson, Sky Sports, and Amazon, the amount of hypocrisy. And you know, there's no good guys in this, are there? That's the thing is, you know, where we end up staying with UEFA, and obviously we all want to stay in the Champions League, and what have you, but, you know, that's a corrupt, greedy organisation. So is the Premier League. Yeah. You know, it's just who's the least of the evils.
Really? No, I agree, Ben, but the good guys, I always maintain, you know, give or take, bad apple, the fans. And that, I'd like, you know, again, to bring it quickly to the mag, I'd just like 1 year at the end to have where we're not fighting, you know, that we reach some happy level, but we've got to keep fighting because fans, like Nathan came on at the start with his United old shirt, 94, isn't it? And I just felt a buzz. And it makes, you know, I can't wait. I just can't wait to see people, to share moments and memories, because our United is not theirs. I know it's not. You know, it's a say it every fucking week. But look,
I mean,
that's
what made it hard, wasn't it? Like yesterday, I was, the lad who sits in front of me comes over from Athlone in Ireland every single game. He does all the Euro ways, everything. And obviously we've become mates over the years, and he put something on Facebook and I sort of commented, I said, I'm thinking of jacking it in, Jim. He said, I'm feeling the same. And I thought, you know, we might never see each other again, literally, on the back of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Funny, I had a same discussion just before this, Ben, with Brian. Barney will know, he's a Red News sort of window, and from Dublin, and he was saying he's thinking of jacking it in, and we just were sort of bored, and that's the sad thing. It's those, I think I never, like, one of the saddest things, I don't want to get into sort of FD thing, but I remember going to a Stone Moses gig and bumping into an old Red. But it's someone I used to see at Euro Ways mainly years ago, and they walked away, and I don't, like, there's no judgment on that. But we both got, like, a little bit, like, boozy emotion. We bumped into each other at a gig. But we otherwise would, you know, that's probably the last time I'll ever see that fellow in my life. But it's just those people you incidentally bump into, bigger United family, that I think it's just, I kind of, in a way, resent the fact that that's being taken. I resented it in 2005, and I think
But I never, you know, like, I think admiration, and it's also, you know, like a respect for everyone and every season, because what people forget, and you notice selling, is the people who gave up in 2005, there were also a lot in 2006, and every year they chink away at us, and they take another 100 or another 200 good Reds who would stay, who weren't disgusted. And I just want, you know, we keep the connection when we keep the fight going. But, you know, Woodward going, brilliant. Is that as a starting point? And to think I won't have to wake up tomorrow, hopefully, feeling like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I think this club gets to us, Ben.
We're on the back of this, aren't we? I mean, Coggy's already said that he thinks he's reached his line in the sand. I mean, I was saying the same thing this morning, and I'm still not sure. So I think we are going to, you know, we're going to lose numbers on the back of this.
Yeah.
Good red, as you say, but I think we're not going to lose as many as we would have done. I mean, if this has gone ahead, I think you would have literally talking thousands would have walked away.
But, you know, it's for another, and in the psychiatrist's chair, but there's also an element of me goes, you know, the way that United get to me still is not healthy. It's not, you know, to feel like I did just, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for my mental state. I mean that deadly sick, and it sounds pathetic when you say it. It's just, I don't know. You care so much about something you love.
Yeah.
That even Nathan's Tinder date is thinking, he said he's in mourning. Sorry, Nathan, I've mentioned that twice now.
I think that was a way of saying fuck off, wasn't it? We've met on the park, it's dark, we're in a secluded area, and she says, you're in mourning.
But I tell you what, tonight she's gone, God, he's a good writer.
Not a good rider,
though. Oh, hang on. Right, so lads, have we got any last comments?
Take me back to my favourite ever podcast.
Oh, that's shame. Let that go.
I'm going at them, but it's just like, but that's what we want. I want to be back together talking bollocks in a pub.
Yes. Cheers, lads, for doing this tonight.
Can I just say one last thing, though, and it's what Ben mentioned earlier, and it's this about... if this had gone through, he would have taken away the opportunity of Ben and millions like him being able to take his kids to the match and everything. And I think that's what we've got to hang on to. Same with you, Barney, and hopefully the other lads in the future. You know, we've still got, or you've still got the opportunity of taking your kids. And I think that's what we need to take away.
And that's the fight never goes. And this is, you know, the opportunity for younger listeners and readers. Come on, pick up the baton. Like, let's get work it. But I can safely say I will never drink, and I like a drink of red wine, a fucking iota of Ed Woodward's wine. So on that note, thank you, everyone, and good night, Woodward. See you later, lads.